Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. Had a long weekend, but, you know, I'm going to hang in there. You can hang in there. You can be a part. 844-967-2789. Join this big show. But happening in my hometown, Madison, Wisconsin, today, pretty big action and activist action, especially amongst the Latino population. And the headline at the local paper, the Wisconsin State Journal, at this hour, hundreds of students, East La Follette students, walk out of school for immigrant rights. A little bit from the reporting, and then I've got a little, we'll call it exclusive sound, because I don't think anyone else has played it, at, you know, like 3:40 in the afternoon. Between 150 and 200 students walked out of East High School Monday morning and marched on East Washington to the state capitol building in an effort to draw attention to the lack of access to in-state college tuition and driver's licenses for undocumented folks and their children. Once they reached the capitol building, East students were joined by those from La Follette, as well as students in grade 4 and 5 from Sandberg Elementary's dual language immersion program. And I mean, there were lots of little shavers, lots of little kids. It was actually encouraging. I was encouraged to see the very young kids there. The march was organized by Raza United, a Latino student organization at East, and was part of the Voces de la Frontera's two-day general statewide strike, Days Without Latinxes and Immigrants. Here's a quote. "Immigrants are a big part of our society, but we still get our rights taken away," said East High School student organizer Mary Angeles Acosta. Acosta said she hoped that student absences would draw attention of lawmakers to the lack of access to driver's licenses and in-state tuition for college and university faced by undocumented folks and their children in Wisconsin. Now, Wisconsin passed a law in 2006 that barred undocumented immigrants and people who do not have a social security number from obtaining driver's licenses or state identification. The law went into effect in 07. That's a long time for a bad law to be on the books. Students who did make this march today, this afternoon in Madison, I guess it was morning, students marching from East High School to the state capitol slowed traffic for a time on East Washington Avenue on Monday morning, authorities reported. The traffic was cleared by about 11 a.m. That's about when I met them at the state capitol. Pete Johnson of the Dane County 911 Center earlier told the State Journal that there is no official road closure, but I'm sure it slowed down to about 1 mile per hour. Now, I've seen these marches. East High School is right down the road from the state capitol. And when these kids want to march, you know, basically the traffic stops and they shut down the road and they march up to the Capitol. And I would say it wasn't, I've seen some tremendously large crowds led by Christine Newman Ortiz and Voces de la Frontera. I've seen 25,000 marching through the city of Milwaukee prior. But today I would say this action, maybe more like 1,000 people tops at the Capitol. A lot of kids, a lot of young people, very engaged audience. And they were joined there. I saw the Democratic Party chair of the great state of Wisconsin, a recent guest, Ben Wickler. He was down there. And I saw the lieutenant governor of the great state of Wisconsin, Mandela Barnes. Now, Mandela was the first person after Christine Newman Ortiz to speak effectively to this crowd of young people. And lots of selfies taken. You know, a lot of kids wanted to take pictures with the lieutenant governor who, oh yeah, also happens to be running for the U.S. Senate. But we've got some sound. I'm going to call this Crudy exclusive. I pulled the sound off amplified sound at the Capitol Rotunda. So I'm making my apologies in advance. We are probably the only ones that would dare to use sound of this quality on broadcast. But we're doing it now. We're doing it now. If you would, please play Mandela Barnes. There's sort of a hello clip. When he's introduced, I believe that's cut 45. And then there's sort of a goodbye clip as the lieutenant governor, as my pal Mandela Barnes was speaking. There would be long pauses and there'd be translation because so many of the people in the crowd were Spanish speaking. But anyways, let's hear cut one or 45 as the case may be from Mandela Barnes.
The governor, myself, together, only together, we can and will make a difference in our state, in our country. We will make this a place where everyone has the opportunity and they deserve.
So, technically, I think I laid those out not in sequential order, and not with a consistent microphone. The Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes came up to the podium, and they were having some sound amplification issues. I know how they feel. So anyways, they started with like a handheld, a blowhorn, and that is how Mandela was actually introduced to this big crowd of young people and Latinos. But let's play cut number 46. See if you can tell the difference between the amplification. They're deciding how to amplify his voice. Like,
all right, I want to thank you so much, everybody, for being here. What a crowd we got today. Let's hear about this next round of applause. So I want to first thank Christine for the wonderful introduction. I want to thank you for the energy. I want to thank you for setting the stage and letting everybody know what's important and why we're here.
Primero que todo, quiero agradecerle a todos los que están aquí. And it went on like that. Mandela gave a nice speech. I felt it was something of a political speech, but it was nice to hear his support and the governor's support, you know, by extension through the lieutenant governor, for this action today. And the two big issues, again, affordable college tuition for those that grew up. A lot of these kids grew up in the state of Wisconsin, effectively, and their parents don't have a legal immigration status, so they become ineligible for in-state tuition. So they're punished like they're somehow overseas students, even though they, like I, may have lived in their community their entire lives. And the other big issue is the legal ability to have a identification so you can go cash your check, so you can perhaps drive a car legally, right? So there's some proof of competency, because it's not like they're not out there driving on the streets. With or without the legal status. But if you don't have a legal status, you cannot properly insure. You know, it's a snowballing effect. So then you have people whose only crime is that they don't have a legal immigration status that can get hauled to jail or deported for a fender bender because they're not legal to drive in the state of Wisconsin. They cannot insure themselves properly under state law because here in the state of Wisconsin, we've decided, you know, they can't have driver's licenses like the rest of us. So this, yes, sir?
I was going to say, I worked with a guy at the bar in Chicago. It was easier for him, he explained to me, it was easier for him to pretend to be somebody else and have a fake identification and then build everything from there than it was to go through the process legally. And he was just doing that so he could buy a house and pay taxes as well.
It
was easier for him to fake it, is what I'm saying.
You know, I've got a friend, although I don't know if he'd still consider me a friend, but we had been friends for some number of years. And he was let's just say he worked in the cleaning industry. He employed a lot of cleaners. And this particular person told me, you know, they would file the taxes on behalf of their employees. And they would realize that the Social Security numbers given at some point, you figure it out. They're not valid. You know, there's no person registered at that Social Security number, or there's multiple people registered at that Social Security number, and the taxes that these people are paying, you know, we hear that all the time. They come here and they take from the system and they don't pay any taxes. No, not true. They just don't get the benefit of the taxes that they're paying in many cases because they're working under an assumed identity or the taxes are being applied to somebody else's Social Security number. But effectively, there's a lot of hardworking people living amongst us that don't get the benefits of citizenship or and all that comes with that. So when I find myself, you know, sort of painted in a corner on Fox News and I want to blow it up, I really do, Fancy Brian. I wanted to, you know, be that guy that just said, F you, Fox News, I'm burning it down. You know, I wanted to be that guy. without being obscene. I promised the audience I wouldn't lose my welcome back just for being obscene or profane. You know, that's a weak man's way of getting kicked out of someplace. But, you know, I didn't have the crafty comeback, at least not on the topic of immigrant populations. Because I am befuddled to understand why it is that Fox News wants to run this issue up the flagpole each and every time. And I guess I shouldn't be surprised by this because, of course, this engages the base on Fox News. If you understand that there is a certain percentage of the population that sort of have these, let's call it white nationalistic tendencies, right? And they're getting what they want over on Fox News. They're getting it from Tucker. They're getting it from Hannity. And what are they getting? They're getting a lot of be afraid of the brown and the black people. You know, they're the ones that are out to get you. And this sort of fear is being ginned up show after show after show after show. And they try to play that, you know, this immigration issue. And, you know, quite frankly, other than my friends with Voces de la Frontera, I can't remember the last time somebody brought immigration up to me, other than maybe CJ or Fox News. You know, with the problems we have currently in this world, with the attacks on democracy, with the battles going on in Ukraine, is the most important thing whether or not the guy came across the southern border or, you know, whether he's a Ukrainian refugee, because we all seem to want to welcome them with open arms, right? The pretty white people. Well, how is the war-torn nature of Ukraine any different than the, you know, narco war-torn plight of the Central Americans? And when you talk to even our Republican friends, I brought up the polling, the Marquette University polling from last week. Had Charles Franklin in your absence too, Fancy Brian, as is the custom, you know, when new polling drops. And 80% of Wisconsinites, and that's got to include a fair number of Republicans, that was about half the people polled, wanted to see a pathway for these people to be incorporated legally within our society. 64% of them thought there should be an amnesty, a citizenship extended. Another 16% said, well, if not citizenship, give them a green card. Let them work within the confines of the system. And when you hear employers all across the state of Wisconsin, all across the Midwest, all across this nation saying, there's not enough workers. Well, let's import some workers. I mean, why does this seem like such a far-flung solution? Why would I, you know, make a Trump DHS guy stutter with this concept that we come together and invite people in willingly, knowingly, you know, like we want them here. Come my neighbor. I will treat you in a Christ-like fashion, you know, if you believe in such things. I know not everybody does, but it's still pretty good, you know, pretty good pathway for treating another human being. Treat them in a Christ-like fashion. You know, the least of thee. But that's not the way they are treated, not here in the state of Wisconsin. They are villainized, and they're villainized on Fox News, and they're villainized here by Republican politicians. And so when I hear some guy saying, oh, Joe Biden's the least popular with immigrants. Well, I'm thinking that's not because Trump and the Republicans are more popular with immigrants. You know, maybe the immigrant populations don't feel like either of the two parties are serving their needs, because the two parties aren't coming together collaboratively and solving any sort of comprehensive immigration problems. You know, and if I was a young kid, if I was one of those kids marching out of high school, well, okay, I might be disappointed with the action, with the level of engagement from the Biden administration, but I certainly wouldn't be fired up to go support the Republicans. I mean, they literally hate these people for the color of their skin. And they're some of the hardest working, nicest human beings you ever want to meet, even by many Republicans' admission. Oh, all the immigrants I know, they're hardworking. I like them. Couldn't run the farm without them. Let's deport them. Come back, more devils.
I like to work, so that's not a problem, but this is actually more work.